Amen. I want to preach this morning a sermon on spiritual warfare. We are in a battle, aren't we?
Yes.
And I think the church has been and is and probably always will be under spiritual assault from the enemy.
Yes.
And we see it amongst us in sickness, trials and tribulations, opposition. But at the same time, we still see God answer many prayers, his provision and his blessings upon us. It's easy to dismiss every difficulty as just the way life is, and that can be true, because let's be honest, this life is an uncertain one. You never know what each day is going to bring your way. But sometimes life feels like you're trying to run against an elevator going the wrong direction, probably with oil on the floor too. And what we do know is that we do have a real enemy. An enemy who actively opposes the church and God's people, who wants to tear down any work that God is doing amongst his people. He is at war with the saints, and he uses every tool in his arsenal to discourage, to wear out, to make us ineffective. And it's clear from Scripture that you and I are in a spiritual warfare. It's not a physical warfare this morning. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world, but it's a spiritual warfare. Ephesians 6 and 10 to 18 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armour of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armour of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. 1 Peter 5 and 8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. We should not be naive this morning or ignorant of the fact that we are engaged in a warfare. We have an enemy who is cunning, who is deceitful, who is intelligent, far more intelligent than you and I, well practiced in the art of warfare against God's people. He uses many tactics ranging from temptation to discouragement. He uses people to attack us. He uses even family at times to get to us. He uses, even dare I say it, so-called Christians to attack us. He uses all means, and he'll happily kick us when we're down. And don't get me wrong, many things happen to us that are just a consequence of you and I living in a fallen world. A world that's full of wickedness and sin, disaster and calamity can strike anybody in this world. But nevertheless, Satan is actively pursuing any who would side with the Lord to try and destroy their faith, to get them to quit, or at least render them ineffective. We need to be aware of this fact and constantly be reminded of it so we understand where it's coming from, what the source is, and then we can actively fight back through prayer, through faith, through God's word, through love and support for one another. We need the right mindset if we're going to be victorious in this battle. In the scriptures that we've just read, we're exhorted to be sober-minded, to be vigilant, to resist the devil, to stand, to put on the spiritual armour, the shield of faith, the breastplate of righteousness, the sword of the Spirit, the helmet of salvation. Why? Because we're under attack daily and we need to always be on our guard. The devil wants to wear us out. He uses discouragement against us. In the book of Nehemiah, you see, the Jews were rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem, and God had put it in Nehemiah's heart to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And lo and behold, guess what? He faced opposition from Sanballat and Tobiah, who mocked him and tried to discourage him. And the name Sanballat, his name means secret hater or an enemy in secret. Sanballat is like a type of Satan. He displays the same attributes of hating God's people. Here are God's people rebuilding the wall, like the picture of any who would rebuild the walls of salvation. And in verse 1, it tells us when Sanballat heard that they were rebuilding the wall, he was furious and very indignant, and he mocked the Jews. In Nehemiah chapter 4, it says, "But it so happened, when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, that he was furious and very indignant and mocked the Jews. And he spoke before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, 'What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they fortify themselves? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they complete it in a day? Will they revive the stones from the heaps of rubbish, stones that are burned?' Now Tobiah the Ammonite was beside him, and he said, 'Whatever they build, even if a fox goes upon it, he will break down their stone wall. Hear, O our God, for we are despised. Turn their reproach on their own heads. Give them as plunder to a land of captivity. Do not cover their iniquity, and do not let their sin be blotted out from before you, for they have provoked you to anger before the builders.'" The way Sanballat reacts with anger and hatred against God's people is a reflection, isn't it, of the nature of Satan. His hatred is against all mankind, but for the unsaved, it's so well hidden that most don't even believe that he exists, blinded to the fact that they're caught captive, bound by the power of the evil one. 1 John 5:19 says, "We know that we are of God, and that the whole world is under the power of the evil one." But you know, once the wall started going up, once God's people who began to build the walls of salvation, restoring glory to its rightful owner, God, then Satan becomes enraged. Revelation 12:17 says, "And the dragon was enraged at the woman and went to make war with the rest of her children who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus." You see, Satan hates God's offspring. He's at war with them. Sanballat's aim was to discourage, to mock, and to attack God's people. Satan mainly does this through our minds. It's an attack that's common to all Christians through their life, but especially common for those that are just saved, an attack of the mind. And the Apostle Paul, who was fully aware of Satan's ways, wrote in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 to 6, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." He also said in Ephesians 6:17, "And take the helmet of salvation." Both of these passages are concerned with spiritual warfare, and both show us the constant need to protect and to renew our mind. And we see in Nehemiah chapter 4, 1 to 6, that the enemy used fear, depression, mockery, and doubt to try and demoralize the builders. And Satan uses these tactics to assault us. And through confusion, doubt, and fear, he tries to snatch the word of life before it can be firmly rooted in a believer's life. Matthew 4:19 says this, "When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. If he can capture our thoughts, he's won the battle, hasn't he? Verse 6 in Nehemiah says, so we built the wall, and the entire wall was joined together up to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. Despite the intimidation, the people had a mind to work. We need to keep our focus on building God's kingdom, on labouring in the kingdom, on having a mind to work. Satan doesn't want us building the walls of Jerusalem. He wants us to give up. Verse 7, now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were being restored and the gaps were beginning to be closed, that they became very angry. And all of them conspired together to come and attack Jerusalem and create confusion. Nevertheless, we made our prayer to our God, and because of them, we set a watch against them day and night. Despite the intimidation, the gaps were beginning to be closed. The walls were being restored, and even all the attacks of the enemy will not prevent our God from building his church. The gates of hell will not prevail. And I like verse 9. It says that despite all the attacks and mockery and intimidation, it says, nevertheless, we made our prayer to our God. And prayer is the best thing you can resort to in the time of attack. It is our communication line to God. It's where we find renewed strength for the battle. It is part of our armoury against the evil one. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. We always need to pray, don't we? And notice it says in the Spirit, not out of our flesh. Pray according to God's will. Lift up our request to him, not just for ourselves, but for all the saints. Time and time again in the Psalms, when David was discouraged, when he was under attack or in trouble, he calls upon God. He relies upon God. He waits upon God. That's how you and I stand. That's how we recover strength. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Verse 10, it says, then Judah said, the strength of the labourers is failing, and there is so much rubbish that we are not able to build the wall. And our adversaries said, they will neither know nor see anything till we come into their midst and kill them and cause the work to cease. So it was when the Jews who dwelt near came, that them came, that they told us 10 times, from whatever place you turn, they will be upon us. Therefore, I positioned men behind the lower parts of the wall at the openings, and I set the people according to their families with their swords, their spears and their bows. And I looked and arose and said to the nobles, to the leaders and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, great and awesome, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives and your houses. The enemy was beginning to wear them out. Their perspective was out of kilter. Their strength was failing, they said. There's too much rubbish to clear. We're not able to build the wall. And Nehemiah told them, don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, great and awesome, and fight for your brethren. When we feel we're without strength, when our strength is failing, when we're ready to throw in the towel, we need to remember the Lord. Remember he is a mighty God who can do more than we can ask or think. A God of the impossible is the God that you and I serve. Don't be afraid of the enemy's threats. Fight for your brethren. We have to fight, church, don't we?
Yes.
Ephesians tells us, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We're not fighting in our own strength this morning, but in the power of his might. It's all about having that right perspective. It's too easy to look at our circumstances and let our heart melt and crumble with despair. But we're not fighting our own battle. The battle belongs to the Lord. And by verse 15, they get their perspective back. It says, and it happened when our enemies heard that it was known to us and that God had brought their plot to nothing, that all of us returned to the wall, everyone to his work. So it was from that time on that half of my servants worked on at construction, while the other half held the spears, the shields, the bows, and wore armour, and the leaders were behind all the house of Judah. Those who built on the wall and those who carried burdens loaded themselves so that with one hand they worked at construction and with the other held a weapon. Every one of the builders had his sword girded at his side as he built, and the one who sounded the trumpet was beside me. Then I said to the nobles, the rulers, and the rest of the people, "The work is great and extensive, and we are separated from one another on the wall. Wherever you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us there. Our God will fight for us." See, God brought the plot of Sanballat to nothing. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. God has given us the victory. He's already won the battle at Calvary. The victory is assured, but we need to live in the good of it, don't we? And Nehemiah said to the people, "Our God will fight for us." It's his battle. In verse 17, it says, "And those who carried burdens loaded themselves so that with one hand they worked at construction and with the other they held a weapon. Each one of the builders had his sword girded at his side as he built." While they were getting on with their everyday duties, they never let go of their weapon. Every one of the builders had his sword ready at his side. We can't relax in this battle. Our weapons need to be ready at all times. We should never go out without the sword of the Spirit or the shield of faith. We should never go out without the weapons of our warfare. Remember, we have an active enemy who wants to exploit our weakness. We'll always try and find the gap in the wall. We can't let down our guard. As Ephesians tells us, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Verse 21 in Nehemiah says, "So we laboured in the work, and half the men held the spears from daybreak until the stars appeared. At the same time, I also said to the people, 'Let each man and his servant stay at night in Jerusalem, that they may be our guard by night and a working party by day.' So neither I, my brethren, my servants, nor the men of the guard who followed me took off our clothes, except that everyone took them off for washing." They were always ready, always clothed, always armed, always vigilant, every hour of both the day and night. Exodus 12:11. "And thus you shall eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover." Israel had to eat the Passover in haste, with loins girded, shoes on their feet, staff in hand. In other words, they were to be ready at all times. The New Testament is full of warnings to you and I about being ready, about having our lamp trimmed and burning, filled with oil, about watching for our Lord and looking for his return as a thief in the night, about not getting caught up slumbering and sleeping and in drunkenness, but being ready and vigilant and watching for our Master's return. Jesus said, "When the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth?" We're called to be ever vigilant, ever ready. Do you ever remember old ever ready batteries? We need to be ever ready, don't we? Yes. Always watching, always waiting, always on the lookout for Satan's wiles, snares and his traps. Always looking for our Saviour's return, keeping our lamps trimmed and burning as wise virgins, keeping our garments clean and washed, looking to our God at all times. We should not be surprised by Satan's attacks. We should be able to discern them. And if we continue in vigilant prayer, continue in steadfast faith, continue in steadfast service, continue in watching and waiting, then when the evil day arrives, which they do regularly, we'll be ready. Have you ever had the evil day come your way? A day from hell? When everything goes wrong that can go wrong, that does go wrong. When it feels like the world is against you, when you can't do right for doing wrong, when you're assaulted from all directions, when disaster strikes, when accusations and slander are made, when hatred is experienced, when you're falsely accused, when you're misunderstood, when everything goes against you. We need to be ready for those days, because they do come. When temptation comes, are you ready? Or will you stand, or will you fall? Will you be found asleep when you should be watching and praying, like Jesus found the disciples in Gethsemane on the night of his capture? Or will you be found girded, clothed and ready with sword in hand? We need to be ever watchful, don't we? Ever ready, praying always, fully clothed in the garments of righteousness, keeping those garments clean from sin and unpolluted by the world. We're called to watch, to remain sober, because the enemy is real. We're in a battle. And if we're too lazy to fight, if we listen to the enemy's discouragement, if we give in to his lies and temptations, then when the Lord returns, we won't be ready. You can't serve God with one eye on the world and one eye on the Lord. It's all or nothing, isn't it? We're pilgrims passing through. We need that staff in hand, sword by our side, to be fully girded, fully armoured, helmet on, shield held high, to deflect all the fiery darts of the enemy. In a nutshell, we need to be ready. Matthew 26, verse 40. Then he came to his disciples and found them sleeping, and said to Peter, "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Luke 21, 36. "Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." 1 Thessalonians 5. "But concerning the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labour pains upon a pregnant woman, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night, nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him." 1 Peter 4, 7, "But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers." Revelation 3 and 3, "Remember therefore how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you." Revelation 16, 15, "Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." We need to fight, church, don't we? Yes. We're in a spiritual warfare. We need to fight for ourselves, for our families, our brethren and the church. As Nehemiah told the Jews, "Fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives and your houses." So that we can say in the end, as Paul said in 2 Timothy 4, 7, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith." We need to be alert, we need to be aware of the battle that we're in, and make sure that we're always ready. Be alert and praying, and if we do get injured, as we sometimes do, let's make sure that we get back to God. And God will always be there to pick us up if we fall. He doesn't forsake the righteous, and if we repent, keep our hearts right, we can find restoration and renewed strength for this battle that we're in. Amen. Let's pray this morning.